Newt could be a new metaphor for describing something that is exceedingly rare.
Dawn Balmer, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Dawn Balmer is an ornithologist at the British Trust for Ornithology.
Thanks to a production team whose talent is as exceptional as a blute, Gary Niederhoff, Barbara Vance, and Marissa Fessenden.
Also thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced here at the SETI Institute, where we investigate the nature and prevalence of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Tale of the Distribution. And if you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science, you can peruse the distribution of episodes at our archive on our website, bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because that's where you first heard Swanee River, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like this show. Oh, and do you have a comment or a criticism, a suggestion, even a compliment? Well, email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm your host Lynn, and today we're discussing the Hawk's Nest with Rochelle Taylor and Harrison Shelby. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to learning all about this. The Hawk's Nest is basically a food pantry for Henry Ford College students.
That's correct.
Okay. Students and the families?
Students.
Okay.
And we hope that students, of course, are able to take food home and share it with their families. But students are the actual shoppers, so to speak, at the food pantry.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something to say? Just jump in.
So students are the shoppers, but I have seen families come in and also with the student, and I've heard students say how much it's helped their family and them and themselves out.
So. Wow. It's hard for me to grasp the hunger situation in America. This is not a third world country. This is America. We're supposed to have everything. It's supposed to be the land of opportunity, et cetera, et cetera. So what you're telling me is we have students who have to make a decision whether to pay for books or whether to buy food.
Unfortunately, and I want to say that the Hawk's Nest, which officially opened in January for our Henry Ford students, it actually came about from a conversation that our president, Dr. Jensen, had in meeting with students. He likes to talk with as many students as possible to make sure he's aware of what are some of the issues and needs on campus. And it was enough of a overwhelming need that came up that we do have students here who are paying tuition, buying books, transportation costs, maybe child care costs, and they are going without. They're sacrificing their own meals in order to. And we know to be a successful student, you know, we want our students to be able to be strong body, strong mind. Well, you know, how strong can your body and mind be when you're weak from hunger?
Exactly.
So we definitely want to applaud Dr. Jensen for understanding that there was a need on campus and then doing something about it and allocating the resources that were necessary to get the Hawk's Nest set up.
So it basically was started based on a conversation that he had,
on a number of conversations. and from there, it was a matter of determining where, you know, on a college campus, there are tons of programs and initiatives, and everybody needs more space. But quickly, there was space identified, and this is a true, true, true campus initiative. Before we were able to get even staffing on board, and Harrison will talk a lot about his role, we sent a call out across the campus. Once we had a space designated, which is in our administrative services building L, we sent a call out to campus to say, because we want to do this. We didn't really have money allocated or much money allocated. So we sent a call out and we were able to get shelves donated, desks donated, all of the items that we needed in the nest to really get it going. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a true campus effort that, hey, we have some extra chairs here. We even got our printer, computer, everything is like surplus materials that were already on campus. Because the monies that we did have, and we want to also thank the HFC Foundation, our development office, because there were some funds that they were able to earmark to start up the Hawk's Nest. But we wanted those dollars to go more directly to serving students and providing some of the food items that would be necessary. So we really started on, you want to say, a shoestring budget, but we got everything up and going so that, and so we thank Dr. Jensen, the foundation office, and really just our campus community for coming together and getting this Hawk's Nest set up.
That is fantastic. Okay, where did the name come from?
I actually thought of the name, although I am a member of, I am the full-time athletic director at the school. I work in the Division of Student Affairs, and so it's really our vice president, Dr. Lisa Kapru, pulled together a few of her staff members in student affairs to, you know, pull together to get this nest pulled together. And somehow I ended up kind of being the lead person on that. Probably I had a few less projects on my plate than everyone else. And I just thought, you know, because I'm the athletic director, I'm constantly working with the Hawks. That's mm-hmm. our mascot. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know, a nest is where birds go to be nurtured. That's where you go to get your food and your nutrition. So luckily everyone on the committee thought it was a, you know, it was nice. And so even our logo, we had an opportunity to work with, this is again, campus-wide, student-driven initiative. We worked with the graphics design department and Dr. Vicki Shepherd, who is the instructor, and we actually did a contest amongst her graphic design students to design the logo for the Hawk's Nest. So everything, as much as we can touch this nest and let it be for students and by students, that's what we've tried to do.
Absolutely wonderful. And to the listeners, that was not a staged question. I did not know that answer at the time.
I don't even know if Harrison knew the answer to that question. But as we were getting the nest pulled together, then we thought about, as we say, it's really for students and by students, that we wanted students to be involved in really working in the Hawk's Nest and developing it. And so we were able to look at create a co-op position, because we do have community leadership program here. Okay. And we thought that this would be a great hands-on opportunity for a student to be involved in the running, and we could not have selected a better co-op student to oversee and really the day-to-day organization management of the Hawk's Nest. Harrison Shelby, I'm going to just kind of segue over to him and let him tell you a little bit about his background. We were blown away with his commitment to helping others and to serving others. And when he first walked into the nest, I think it was just an empty room with some empty shelves, and it's now a thriving operation. So Harrison, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk a little bit about the things that you've done to get the doors open.
Well, first of all, it's been an honor to be able to help students and serve in this capacity. At the beginning it was, you know, a little scary because it was nothing there, and just seeing the vision and knowing what we were trying to accomplish was exciting, and I knew that was going to be a lot of hard work involved. But it's flourishing now. We serve about 50 students on a weekly basis. We have over 4,575 pounds worth of food was donated since January this year, and about 2,500 pounds worth of personal care items as well. Mm-hmm. I work there. I serve as a team leader. We have three other student employees that are in the work study program that do a terrific job, and we have a number of volunteers that come in and help out. So it's been amazing.
Wow. Where did the volunteers come from?
We've had volunteers from classes. We had volunteers in the honors program as well. Even some of our student athletes helped out when we first got started.
Now that one I can see the connection. Okay.
We were happy to step up. In fact, before the doors really opened and it was just empty shelves, our student athletes did a canned good drive, and we donated the first 200 pounds of food that was ever collected at the Hawk's Nest. So we're very proud to do that, and our student athletes will contribute to the Hawk's Nest every year. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Actually, the student athletes to this date have donated 600 pounds worth of food.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, but it's been pleasantly surprised. I thought that the campus would step up. I really did. But we are amazed at the number of staff members. We get calls and just emails. So a number of departments just have boxes in their, maybe in a select location in their area. And they'll call and say, our box is full. And these are just employees who come and fill up the box every week. And we are able to do that. And then we've had other classes and programs that will say, we're going to do an actual collection for the Hawk's Nest. And I want Harrison to talk about that first seminar or that workshop where you can.
Yes. Okay. We had a public service seminar here that was sponsored by the Michigan Democracy Institute by our professor, Dr. Perry and Robert Yarmatter. And out of their classes, about 300 students, they raised a little over 1,500 pounds worth of food and about $200 in monetary donations as well. And I mean, they were coming in with bags of items, and some of them have donated since then, and they're actually going to do another one. So hopefully some of the kids can get extra credit for bringing in donations, and they really just want to keep helping out, seeing how they can help out more. Mm-hmm. So,
just 3 weeks of the Hawk's Nest being open, Harrison's contacted me. We need more shelves. We need more shelves. And that's a great problem to have, that we were storing food in a, you know, we have a storage closet. And he's like, we need more shelves. There's so much food coming in. And that's exactly what we would want, to outgrow that facility at some point.
And a number of community organizations and churches have donated as well and wanted to help out. So that's been we've received donations from those organizations as well. So.
Yeah. How have you publicized this? I saw something the Mirror, in the Henry Ford paper, and it talked about this new service, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And then I received a publication at my house, and the logo's on there and your contact information, hence the phone call from me. Mm-hmm. But what have you done, or have you done anything, or do you plan to do, to reach out to churches or to the Rotary Club, or, you know, some of the service organizations in the area? What are your plans to reach out to get them to step up even a little bit more?
That's Harrison. Harrison is on it. So I'm looking at Harrison saying, just go for it, Harrison, because he's doing an excellent job networking in the community.
Okay. I want in the near future, I want to create a newsletter talking about what's happening in the Hawk's Nest and how people can get involved, either by volunteering or donating. Sending out more electronic communications as well. Hopefully we get some more press about the Hawk's Nest. Mm-hmm. And going to networking events around different organizations that similar food pantries with other colleges and things like that. We're also part of the College and University Food Bank Alliance, which is a national organization of other campuses that have food initiatives such as pantries and soup kitchens of that nature, and we kind of share best practices. Friday, I'll be going to a conference, the National Food and Hunger Way Summit, with about 250 other college leaders around this issue of hunger and seeing how we can expand our pantry and things like that. So.
That point just made me wake up or shriek inside or something. There are that many colleges in this area or around the country that are doing the same thing we're doing here. with food pantries
around the country, actually, and the alliance that Harrison alluded to is actually founded at Michigan State University with, do you remember the second university? It's, they were co-founded,
Oregon,
but
Oregon
in something
State.
In Oregon State,
okay.
Right. And so we were able to go and use that site, as Harrison said, resource and best practice. But there are campus, there are student food pantries and soup kitchens on college campuses all over this country because it is actually a national need. You will find, and think about when you have families that are able to receive, students are able to receive free and reduced lunch in for high school or middle school because mm-hmm. of the family income. Mm-hmm. Now those students are now in college. That need is still there. That
right.
That and there's not a federal program that's allowing, that's providing for that. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, you know, the need exists. When you think about students that are paying tuition and the costs are constantly going up and the dollars at their home, you know, are not. And parents are trying to support, but something has to, a lot of times something has to go, and it's been that hot meal. And one of the things that we do is make sure that we have balanced food in the food pantry so the students can get everything from, you know, meat. Now, everything is non-perishable, so canned meat, but canned fruit, but then we want to make sure there's vegetables and there's snacks and there's, you know, carbs and there's protein, everything that we can try to do to help them have as much of a balanced meal. And we understand that the food pantry is allowing their other resources to stretch. So if they can get some food from us on a weekly basis, then the monies that they do have can go further and stretch, you know, when they're getting other mm-hmm. food other mm-hmm. places. And Harrison has put together a list of other resources in the area, other pantries or other sources where students can go. So again, we're trying to let them know how they can, you know, just stretch their resources and be able to provide for themselves or for their families.
Right.
And I think it's also about spreading awareness about food insecurity on college campuses and also letting students know that they shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to receive the necessary support to make sure that they're successful in school and their personal well-being.
Right. Yeah. Rochelle talked about that in the beginning, too, where you're going to be a better student mm-hmm. if you're being nourished.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, first off, you're hungry, you're uncomfortable, at the very least.
You're weak and uncomfortable, and it's harder to concentrate. And then you also don't want students stressing about where their next meal is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we want to make it easier for students. And we feel, I know I've been in the pantry a couple of times. I covered in early January, and I had a couple of students come in to use the pantry, and they were indicating, you know, what their majors were and how they look forward to the day that they're on their feet and they can donate back to help other students at Henry Ford. And even with that, that's something that's great, but I also let them know, but there's, you know, you can volunteer now an hour of your time. Like, there's something that we all can do to help each other. So if we don't have money to donate, if we don't have actual canned goods to donate, you know, just coming in and helping to sort the shelves, especially on days when we get large collections in, and help us stock our shelves, you know, there's something that everyone can do that together, by us all working together, we can help, you know, really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the conference. Are you also going to different places? Do you go to a church on Sunday morning and do a temple talk on this particular project?
I would like to start reaching out and going out to more organizations and speaking. Trying to work with other departments. I've contacted Joel Geffen in the Religious Studies Department, and mm-hmm. he goes out to a number of churches and mosques and things like that, religious organizations, and seeing how we can incorporate the work he's trying to build and working with the Hawk's Nest mm-hmm. and other departments, such as working with the Culinary Department as well, and a few other on-campus mm-hmm. supports.
There are a couple of things also I want to add. One is that in addition to the amount of food and personal care items that have been donated, we have received over $5,500 in cash donations. And that helps us. Harrison and I have gone out. We're kind of a regular at the Dollar Tree and Costco, but we go out and when we do have to, sometimes there's a need for a particular item. So while we accept, you know, non-perishable food items, sometimes it's important for us to quickly, like we may want to restock the tuna and chicken or something like that. So we'll go out and do shopping, but we've actually only gone out shopping twice to set up the pantry and then one other time. We've been able to sustain, you know, and keep the doors open with the food that's been donated, but over $5,000 in donations in just 3 months is just, again, a testament to the support that this campus and this community, because it's been coming from the Dearborn community as well as faculty, staff, and students right here on our campus. So that's amazing, and we hope that that will continue. And then Harrison's going to share, we are looking to have a relationship and partnership with Gleaners Food Bank, which would actually allow us to purchase food at a, you know, a much lower rate. So Harrison's going to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, part of my job is doing the research and seeing how to make the pantry sustainable. So I see that other campus pantries are community, and other organizations are community partners with Gleaners and Forgotten Harvest. And there's a number of criteria that the college has to like get the safe serve and other kind of qualifications to make sure that we are able to be partners with them. So we're in the process of reconfiguring how we could become partners with them as well. At this conference, they're gonna there's a session devoted that I'm going to this weekend, devoted on showing you how to set up those partners with corporate donors, such as Kroger's and Walmart's and things like that. So that should be interesting to bring back and get to work, start to get work on that. And
Right. How do you select the recipients? Is there a screening process?
All students are eligible. They have to be enrolled in at least one credit hour here. We don't ask for any financial need or anything like that. There is a basic intake form asking for their name and contact information and things like that. And they have to agree to the certain terms in the contract or whatever. And they are eligible to come in at least once a week.
Okay. Right. Do you ask about family size and that sort of thing, too?
No.
We don't currently, but we, again, in order to kind of be able to become a certified, we will begin to ask some additional information. And it's really just to allow us to be able to report the types of students, the students that we're serving, and the, you know, the families that we're serving. So we will look to perhaps add that kind of information in the future. But we don't, you know, there's never been an issue. I get questions from time to time. How do you know the students need the food? You know, well, you know, they come in with a need and they say that they need the food. But I don't think there's been an issue. And as we worked with other campus, have talked with other campus pantries, Harrison and I have visited a few in the area as well. Consistently, there's no one scamming the pantry. These are truly students who are grateful to have, to be able to come shop and take food home and to be able to provide, you know, for themselves and or their family. So
I think the way we have everything set up kind of helps tear down that negative stigma that's associated with coming to receive help, because they fill out the intake form once and they don't have to keep filling out the form. They get a membership card. It's shopping style, so it's not you're getting a box of food that's already, they get to come and shop. So the experience, we make sure that it's up, you know, that they're welcome when they come in and things like that, so.
Okay. Do you ever distribute food cards or, you know, I'll just say a Kroger, like a Kroger card or a Meijer card. Do you distribute cards like that so that they can get the fresh items to supplement what they're getting from the pantry?
We don't do that. That's a good idea. Okay. So yeah, thank you for that.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about the cash contributions coming in, and you probably don't want to start dispersing money. That's mm-hmm. never really a good idea.
Right.
But to get a $10 card from Kroger, for example, you can get the dry goods here and then the fresh chicken there mm-hmm, and what mm-hmm. have you. Okay.
That's a great idea.
Okay. See, the more you talk, that's the good news. You mentioned, too, in the beginning, you talked a little bit about some personal hygiene products and that sort of thing. Could you expand on that a little bit to tell us what you're trying to do in that focus?
Okay. Currently, right now, we have got donated toothpaste, toothbrushes. We've had shaving cream, razors, deodorant, feminine care products. We've even had toilet paper, first aid kits. Someone even donated hats and scarves as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to keep that on a consistent basis in the stocked in.
Yeah, basically, and again, items that will allow students to use whatever, you know, monies they do mm-hmm. have for other items, so as much as we can provide here. And I know one of the first students that came in, again, I was serving that student, and, you know, I said, well, there's over here, it's kind of in a cabinet, so he couldn't see it. Here's some toothpaste, and his, you know, his eyes just kind of lit up, like, oh my goodness, this is great. And said, I hate to ask, but do you have any lotion? So, you know, we don't have lotion, but we are certainly going to try and get some lotion, you know, next time. So, you know, just to see, you know, the needs that students have. So it's not always just the actual, you know, food items, but again, these personal items go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And also thinking, we also have things where they can warm up meals, like plates and silverware as well, and can openers and mm-hmm. napkins for them, so they'll be able to... you know, when they get the food, they can eat it.
Yeah, a can opener.
Like.
I mean, who would think? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, some way to get into the food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then, of course, there are microwave ovens throughout the various buildings, too, here. Which
and
helps.
That's what's great about the location of the Hawk's Nest in Building L in the ASCC building, and it's right across from the Student Center, so they can go right over, and in fact, they could heat up something and sit and have lunch with other students, and it would not, you know, there would be no stigma. It would look like they brought food from home, just
exactly.
like any other
yeah.
student. So
yeah.
we want them to, you know, feel comfortable being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, that's yeah. So you're definitely looking at the human side of this mm-hmm. whole thing. There's a commercial for the Red Cross that airs. I've heard it on radio only, but she talks about how her father just stood there watching his house burn down, and suddenly there was somebody from the Red Cross there, and he felt with clothing,
mm-hmm.
and she said, and then we felt like humans again.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Here is
mm-hmm.
dignity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see, what else is coming?
Harrison, can you tell them a little bit about maybe some programming, maybe the recipes or the shopping?
Oh, yeah.
As you can see, Harrison is running this running this pantry. He's doing an outstanding job.
In addition to having a number of other resources with numbers and contact information about for shelters and other soup kitchens and food pantries, we have that information available for students as well. Recipe books. The USDA has a number of resources where you can get free information for students about nutrition and recipe books as well. Looking to partner also with Cookie Matters. They're a national partner with Gleaners, and they come in and do food demonstrations for students.
Okay.
And kind of show students how some basic cooking skills as well. And what we'll need is for students to, so hopefully we can partner with the culinary. They need willing students to work and be trained in doing, they bring all the materials. So they'll go through a basic training. They'll be able to do that inside of the Hawk's Nest with the little stove. So
okay. Okay. Yeah.
Also partnering with some nutritionists to come in and do some programming as well. Mm-hmm. Looking to bring in extreme couponing. What was the lady from U of M Dearborn? Mm-hmm.
So, tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, before we opened our nest, I think Harris and I have both on separate occasions visited our friends next door, University of Michigan Dearborn. They've had a pantry in operation. So again, we were wanting to get as much information, and we found out that they had someone to come in and work with their students who is, now I'm not a coupon shopper. I always clip coupons and then they're on the table at home when I'm in the store, or they've expired because I go shopping like once every couple of months. But it was a way. This was a someone who really is an extreme. You know, there are folks who know how to make coupons work for you, where you can, you know, so she may get $200 worth of groceries, and she has paid $12 by the time she's. Knows what store is doubling coupons today, and you know, and those kinds of things. So we thought that would be something. It would definitely be open to anyone in the campus whenever we have mm-hmm. events in the Hawk's Nest. You know, anytime we bring in someone to talk about nutrition, it's open for anyone. But again, that's a way to really think about helping students stretch their resources. So we haven't had her yet. I think she needs to do a personal session with me first. And then we'll do it. But I think it would be a great way to just help students. And I want to mention for your listeners that the Hawk's Nest is open 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and it's staffed from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So students can come by at any time, you know, during those hours. Then it's also open Monday through Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. So students that may be here for later classes have an opportunity, as well as, you know, students that are here mm-hmm. during the day or early afternoon. And we do accept, as we've been talking about, monetary donations as well as non-perishable food items. And we do have, a website, Harrison?
We don't have a website yet. We're working on it. And okay. We're also in the process of planning what would be our annual fundraiser as well.
Yeah. So we don't have a website yet, but we hope that we'll have something going where someone would go on our main page, the HFC website, and be able to just search for Hawk's Nest, and there will be a list of items. We always post that we're looking for, you know, canned meats and pork and beans, soups, pastas, pasta sauces, peanut butter, canned vegetables, beans, instant potatoes, canned fruit, rice, boxed macaroni and cheese, cereal bars, granola bars, canned meals like ravioli, chili, hamburger helper, cereal, instant oatmeal. Those are some of the items that we like to keep on our shelves. And as you can tell from that list, they are, you can actually make meals, you know, have a complete meal mm-hmm. from some of those things. And they are from a variety of the food groups, and they help our students quite a bit. So we would hope to have that information on our website. But some of the pantries we've talked to in this area have more limited hours. We're very fortunate that we are able to just utilize our students through co-op and work study to make sure that our pantry is open on set days and set times, and so that the students, I think it really helps students to know when it's open and that it's convenient for them.
Yeah, the consistency in the hours is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And about how many students, well, let's look at it two ways. About how many students are you helping on a weekly basis, and about how many students have you been able to help from January until now?
At least 25 students come in on a weekly basis.
Okay.
We have served close to 60 students since the pantry's been open.
Mm-hmm. And we, it officially opened just during this winter semester. We did a ribbon cutting with the board of directors, with the HFC Foundation, as well as our own board of trustees. And And so we initially, during our the Welcome Back Week, which you know at HFC happens like the third week of the semester, just a chance for students to find out everything that's going on campus once they've settled into their classes. So that's really when most of our students found out that the Hawk's Nest was open and ready, and they were able to use it. And then in the counseling area, of course, they may have students that they refer to the Hawk's Nest as they are working with students in the counseling area. It's been on the campus monitors. But what I found, and I've been here going into my sixth year now, no matter how much we promote, there are always students that, you know, still don't know. So we're constantly knowing that we need to keep getting the word out, because if we're serving about 60 students now, there's probably at least that many and more that may not know that we have this resource. So we have to continue to make sure that our students know that it's available to them.
A number of instructors have also included it with their syllabus and given it out to their class and letting their students know. So that's been very helpful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, it's just fantastic work, and it's so exciting that it's happening right here. Unfortunately, that you need to do it, and hopefully you're out of business someday. Wanted to ask, too, the best way to get in touch with you. If somebody has a question or wants to know something about the pantry, what's the best way to do that? What's the best approach?
Well, there are a couple of contacts. The Hawk's Nest has a number, which is 313-317-6529. That number goes directly to the Hawk's Nest, and someone will answer during the hours that it's open, which again is Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Monday through Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. They can also contact me as a full-time staff member at the college. Sometimes more readily available, and I can be reached at 313-317-4138. They can also email hawksnest@hfcc.edu, or they could email me directly, which is rtaylor33@hfcc.edu, and we will respond to any messages that are left as quickly as we can.
Do you alluded to fundraisers earlier, Harrison. Do you have any in the works, or have you done any?
We're in the process of planning a fundraiser called Empty Bowls, and that'd be partnering with the ceramics department
Definitely we'd like to share information with you on that as it gets in the works, and hopefully you can share that with your listening audience.
Yeah, and I will just caution you, we've been around for 31 years and there are still people on campus who don't know there's a radio station.
I'm the athletic director, and there are folks that don't know that we have Hawks competing on basketball and baseball and all the other sports. So yes, we always constantly have to get information out to our community.
And we're definitely willing to help you with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the idea of the empty bowls. I explain that in case some of the listeners are not familiar with the concept.
So Empty Bowls, it's actually is a kind of a national initiative that many organizations do, but it's the concept behind it is to to really get the feeling of what it's like to suffer from food insecurity. So if you go to an Empty Bowls fundraiser, usually you are attending and you purchase a bowl, an empty bowl that's there. And in our case, bowls that would be made by students here at Henry Ford in the ceramics program or the ceramics club. And then that bowl is filled with a very simple soup. So you're getting a very simple meal. It might be soup and some crackers, or soup and a piece of bread. And it's really to raise awareness to, you know, what it really feels like to suffer from food insecurity, or to know that would be your only meal for the day. Typically, when you go to a fundraiser and it's a dinner or a luncheon, you know there's going to be your salad and then your entree and the vegetables and the dessert. So to go and to actually purchase a meal, so to speak, and it's a very simple bowl of soup, I think puts into perspective what food pantry, the need for food pantries and what needs our students have. Right. So that's right. Our goal.
Right.
And empty bowls, the concept was started here in Michigan by an art teacher, I think in West Bloomfield Middle School, art teacher. He wanted his students to get involved and bring an awareness about hunger.
Okay. I didn't realize it was
another
Michigan first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's exciting. And any, I'm not trying to get you to give me a specific, but any kind of general idea when this will happen?
No.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot to coordinate, and
yes.
As we discuss it, you know, we're getting close to the end of the semester, so we have to make sure the students in the ceramics program are completing their assignments. So it's something we hope to have a chance to discuss and plan out during the spring and summer session, and then we'll definitely have more information mm-hmm. about it for mm-hmm. next year.
Okay. All right. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Any other ways that you're reaching out for a fundraiser type of thing? Do you go to some of the service clubs or churches and say, hey, collect for a month and, you know, that kind of thing?
What's been interesting is that we have not initiated those conversations and contacts. However,
okay.
we have had churches that have donated food to us from their parishioners from having read about the Hawk's Nest.
Okay.
Here on campus, there are student clubs that Harrison has spoken with the student club leaders, mm-hmm. and now they, have agreed over, that they will conduct a camp good drive or something like that. But definitely there was a lot to do to get the nest open, and now that it's open, and I think Harrison and his staff has a really good handle on how it's operating, he now is allowing his mind to click over to the next level, which is being out in the community. As he said, he wants to network and represent the Hawk's Nest. He now has his brand new Hawk's Nest business cards, so he can get out there in the community and officially represent Henry Ford College and start making many of those presentations. And Harrison is going to be Harrison is a true community leader. He's already accomplished quite a bit in his lifetime, in what I would consider a very short lifetime. But his goals are to, run a not-for-profit so this is great experience for Harrison, excellent for the Hawk's Nest to have someone who has the time and the energy and the passion. And so it's really just a win-win for us and the Hawk's Nest.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently a student here?
Yes, I'm a student. I'm in the Community Leadership Program, which is unique program for students who want to get involved in working in a nonprofit setting, or also who have aspirations to be elected officials one day. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what are your goals, Harrison?
My goal one day is to run for state representative and also run a nonprofit organization full time.
Well, if you could do it quickly and maybe take on some of the current candidates, it might not be a bad idea. I just realized that I was going down a bad road and I stopped. Okay. Well, that's very exciting. What other nonprofits have you been involved with?
I currently also work for Michigan Roundtable for Diversity and Inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with Southwest Solutions and Focus Hope as well.
Southwest Solutions, I don't know.
They're a mental health organization. They do housing. They're located in Southwest Detroit and
okay.
Impact that community. They've been around for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Focus Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically
that's
with
an
their
incredible place.
Their Center for Children
mm-hmm.
and their early childhood program. That's another
okay.
passion of mine,
okay.
Working with children as well. So.
All right. Well, that's where it all starts. And if we keep them fed and if we keep them trained and educated, the world obviously benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the kids. Okay, let's see. Give us those contact numbers again, and then I have a couple more questions.
Okay, so the Hawk's Nest can be reached directly at 313-317-6529. And messages can be left there, but someone is able to answer calls there Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Monday through Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. And then also could reach me directly regarding the Hawk's Nest. I'm Rochelle Taylor, and my number is 313-317-4138. Individuals can also reach the Hawk's Nest via email at hawksnest@hfcc.edu, and they could also email me at rtaylor33@hfcc.edu.
Okay, thank you. With regards to volunteers, are you looking for any volunteers who are not connected to the school, not connected to Henry Ford, to give you a hand with a stocking or dusting or whatever it might be?
Yeah, we're looking to see how to establish the process of creating a form where we can have volunteers come in off the campus. So just making sure that legally we are covered. And
of course.
So when we have larger donations or people want to stop in and drop by and volunteer, we're always looking forward to doing that as well.
All right. I was thinking of church groups, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, that sort of thing, where you have a team, teenagers in general, who come in and, like I said, maybe help you with straightening up or dusting or that kind of thing. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely would just, as Harrison said, have to establish a procedure at the college. Many of our students here at Henry Ford do have volunteer hours, that service hours, mm-hmm. so it's a great mm-hmm. opportunity for them. And then we also know many of the groups you mentioned, high school students are also having to fulfill some service hours.
Right.
So if we can create a program that would allow them to know that we are that they could work with us, that would be great. And one of the things about the location of the Hawk's Nest being in the ASCC building on our campus, it's a building that's accessible easily from Evergreen, and it actually has a circular drive. So if there are individuals that would want to donate canned goods, they can contact the Hawk's Nest and just pull up right to the front door, and we would make arrangements to help get food out of their car and into the nest. So we wanted a location that would be easy for, it's not like in the middle of campus and you'd have to drive around to find it. So it's very easy to pull up and make those donations. So we'd love to have a car full of food show up. And I do that, I pull my car up and Harrison and the staff can run out and unload it and get it where it's going. So it's a convenient location.
Okay.
And we would love to have people just come in and visit and actually see it, as well.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. It's, again, very exciting that that you've undertaken this. Interesting to hear how it all started, too, with, leadership from the college mm-hmm. at the highest level.
Exactly.
Being aware mm-hmm. of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we were, as I said, Dr. Jensen has, I think, done an excellent job in really listening to students and, faculty and staff. We can all talk about things, but, he wants to hear what are the challenges that our students are facing and try to, reduce the hurdles. Studying and going to school and getting that degree is a, that's a daunting task for anyone. And if we can help ease the stress of any of these other areas, I think that's important. So mm-hmm. again, I just really applaud Dr. Jensen for letting us know we will have a student food pantry. And then he gave us a very short amount of time to get it done. But we were happy to, to step up and, mm-hmm. and get it created.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a potential partnership with Gleaners in the future. Any other ways that you're looking to expand what you're doing?
Well, we are in conversations with University of Michigan Dearborn, and just talking about some ways to collaborate. There's actually an instructor there who has approached us, who's actually doing research among the area of students And food insecurity. So actually not just providing the food to the students, but she is a field of study for her. I think she's in sociology. And she has an opportunity perhaps for our students to participate in a research study that she's doing. And she would actually be able to provide some financial incentives that will help, mm-hmm. help our students. But actually dig deeper into some of the issues that have that our students are facing, that our students and U of M Dearborn students are facing, and try to come up with some even more broad solutions. So mm-hmm. I think it'd be great to partner with U of M Dearborn. She's in a grant application process right now.
Okay.
So if she's able to receive that grant, it will be something that we will allow our request or allow our students to know about, and if they would like to participate, as I said, they would be sharing some great information but being able to receive some financial incentive as well.
Right. And what would be absolutely fascinating is to watch that go long term,
mm-hmm.
and you know, watch it and see what happens to the people who are receiving now. And are they able to break free from
the cycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. I think that's her goal. And so to be able to contribute that kind of information to a study like that, I think is exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, there's not a lot of research out there about food insecurity amongst college students.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be interesting to actually mm-hmm. Be on the ground doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Wow.
And then I've received a inquiry from a couple of other, one was a community college and one a four-year school, one in Iowa, I think one in North Dakota, but as they may have gotten our information from the Food Bank Alliance, but you know, able to share some of the things that we have learned in starting up a food pantry, and mm-hmm. just kind of knowing that you know, it's kind of a each one teach one. Just as we relied on other institutions when we got ours started, now other institutions reaching out to us and able to share some of our best practices and stories and things that we've learned along the way to help other pantries get going. So you know, it's kind of a good feeling to know that you're not only helping students here at Henry Ford, but ultimately reaching some students that we'll never know about in mm-hmm. in another, you know, community.
Yeah.
And there's another smaller pantry on our other campus, on our South Campus. It was the East Campus, with the nursing instructors that pulled together some resources and opened something, food, and also they have scripts for students, I believe. Also.
Yeah, Harrison and I just learned about this. So we're very excited, and we have nursing students that come over here and volunteer their time. But then we found out there's a kind of a hawk's nest too at the nursing school for students so that they don't have to come here to the main campus.
Okay.
And so Harrison and I are going to go over and visit and see if there's anything we can help with them. But that was, again, the nursing faculty seeing that there was a need, and even trying to help students from having to travel here to get food. So I mean, it's spreading already on our own campus.
That's amazing. So when did that facility open its doors?
Just a few weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, we are just learning about it, and so we've been invited to come over, and I'm glad Harrison mentioned that, because we need to go over there and check and see.
That's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So you guys got it right from the get-go, apparently.
We hope so.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the faculty has in fact, I think the nursing staff were some of the first ones to step up. We had an opportunity for our faculty and staff here on campus to tour the nest. And again, they just are constantly, everyone on this campus is always constantly thinking about how can we help students. And for them to know that this was a great resource, but for some students, the transportation from the nursing school to our main campus could be a barrier.
Sure.
And for them to want to help knock down that barrier so quickly, you know, it's just a testament to the support we get on this campus.
Right. You mentioned some of the canned meats and fish are things that you're looking for on a regular basis. Anything else that you find that you tend to run short of on a kind of regular basis?
Your canned soups, raviolis, granola bars, cereal, things like that.
Okay, things that are basically a meal and a package.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Which is obviously student food, so yeah. You can go from class to class and mm-hmm. pop it in the microwave or mm-hmm. add water or what have you.
And then we also have so the students receive a tote bag, so to speak, when they first come, and then we ask them to bring that tote bag back every week. But we started with, you know, just a few tote bags, so we can always use, you know, bags that the students can use to actually put their food in when they go out shopping.
Okay. All right. So the bags, the one-stop meal, if you will, package, mm-hmm. Instant oatmeal, that sort of thing, the canned meats and fish. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are the ones that are a little bit more in demand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So anyone out there listening, there's a circular drive, and people will take the food out of your car. It doesn't get any better than that. So we have an easy drop-off point, and feel free to call Rochelle at the numbers that she listed before. Do you want to give those numbers one more time?
So they can reach the Hawk Nest at 313-317-6529, and they can contact me at 313-317-4138.
And remember, nobody is just one person. This is the kind of project that you can take before your church group or your volleyball group or your yoga class, whatever it might be, and decide to pick up a few items from the members of that particular group, and you'd be surprised how big the collection gets and how fast it gets. And call that number, and people are there to receive this gratefully between 10 and 1 and between 4 and 7. 10 till 1 Monday through Friday, 4 until 7 Monday through Thursday. And it mentioned, too, in the article I saw that the hours we're talking about our fall and winter semester numbers. What's happening in the summertime, spring and summer?
So we are actually going to be meeting within the next week or so to determine spring and summer hours.
Okay.
So we will get that information publicized.
Okay, fantastic. So we're looking forward to soup. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Empty bowl mm-hmm. project. Looking forward to having any number of the groups out there listening to volunteer to partnership with, in a partnership way with these wonderful people that I have. And I've never met you guys before, and I feel like we've been friends for years. This is a very, very exciting project.
We're just both happy to be involved in it, really.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening and for being here with us today, Rochelle and Harrison. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about this project. And it's, what was it? May 10th, 2014, we changed names and everything was supposed to be new and moving forward from that time. This is something new and exciting moving forward. Thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And I will remind you, the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
WHFR Dearborn.
Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR.FM, proudly presents Radiothon 2016 Fundraiser Kickoff Party at the New Place Lounge, Saturday, April 16th, 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. Please join WHFR and your favorite DJs for a night of blues featuring an all-star jam session with many of Detroit's finest musicians. This blues jam is the first of many events happening during Radiothon Week, April 17th through 23rd. New Place Lounge is located at 22723 Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. A $5 donation at the door for this 18 and over event. Visit WHFR.FM for more info about Radiothon 2016 and how to donate.
WHFR's annual Radiothon 2016 is the week of April 17th through the 23rd. This is where we ask for pledges from you, the loyal listener, to continue to support our non-commercial radio station. Hi, I am Scott Boatwright, host of the Motor Live Drive at 5 show. I am excited to announce a Motor Week for Radiothon. You heard right. Tune in every day from 5 to 6 p.m. to your favorite shows to hear live bands. We will feature gospel, black metal, jazz, blues, indie rock, and punk rock. For more information, check out the Motor Live Drive at 5 page at facebook.com/groups/MotorLiveDrive. Or, for a full schedule and how you can donate, go to www.whfr.fm Motor Week. Only on the station Making Waves, WHFR, Dearborn.
Radiothon 2016 is coming Sunday, April 17th until Saturday, April 23rd. It's the one time out of the year where we ask you, the WHFR listener, to pledge your support to your favorite non-commercial educational radio station, WHFR.fm. If you want to pledge now, go to WHFR.fm and choose the Click to Donate button. Radiothon 2016, coming April 17th until Saturday, April 23rd.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. The following show was pre-recorded.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet. Hello, Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, rock, rock, Rockin' Robin. Hello, Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Hello. A pretty little raven at the birdman stand talked him up to the bop and it was grand. They started going steady and bless my soul, he out popped the buzzard and the Oreo. He rocks in the treetop all the day long, popping and a popping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, blow. Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock tonight. We're gonna rock. We own the pretty little raven at the birdman's stand. Taught him how to do the bop and it was grand. They started going steady and bless my soul, he out-bopped the buzzard and the Oreo. He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a-bopping and a-singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street talk to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, Rockin' Robin, blow, Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and the following show was pre-recorded. So I'm not really here, even though it sounds like I'm here. I'm here now, but when this airs, then never mind, it's just pre-recorded. Yo, guys and dolls out there, you're at the Malt Shop with Daddy G here on WHFR.fm. So, we're going back to the 50s and 60s. And so, hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the Malt Shop where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
Love. cry my eyes out over you.